on this beautiful 21st day of April. We welcome you to the blessings of Christ, and we know that you will receive abundantly, and be blessed. And we're going to start by just being with you and with the community. So make sure we've got everything rolling. Yes, I think we do. We've got our record on, and let's see, we've got a nice number of
Q&A, right?
Yeah, we've got quite a few people in the Q&A, unless I've done something. Okay, well, that was it. Okay. Our Q&A session has started, but there's no one in it. So, Nancy, you and I are it.
How's it
in Austin today?
You know, it's 65 degrees. The sky is blue. You just want to go out there. Everything's green. It's just been a beautiful day, and we're just really grateful. And I know I texted you earlier, and today is like a day of joy. It's just sort of like pulsing through us, and I feel it, and I think our community feels it. Something about joy today is happening for all of us. So, yeah, we're doing great. Little guy is doing better with his swallow business, and so we're working through that. And, yeah.
Oh, which little guy are we talking about this time?
Cameron was having issues with the milk. When he would nurse, he just sort of like, it's like a rainbow. It's a very strange thing. It goes up. He doesn't aspirate. It doesn't go in the windpipe, but because they did a swallow study and looked at it, but it kind of sits there. So he's been doing this thing of gurgling and always sounding like it's, so they've had to thicken, but they've thickened the milk. And I just think we're brilliant bodies, and I think he's going to learn, and there's going to be a pathway, and he's going to figure it out, and mom gets to not be super stressed.
Absolutely. There's a lot to figure out coming from heaven to earth.
Isn't it true? That's got to be such a trip.
We go through the whole of life still trying to figure it out, and we don't completely do it until we go back home. And then we look from up there and say, oh, my gosh, that was so easy. How come I didn't get that?
I told her just to talk to his body and his higher self and everything about him that kind of knows how to figure this out.
And she does.
And they don't laugh at me with that. They definitely realize that is a healing way to approach things, you know?
Oh, that's great. You know, and just gently massage his throat, you know, sending lots of love into that area. And what needs to happen next, you know.
I love that.
You know, there's so much we can do with just healing touch. There is magic in a hug, when it's given lovingly and respectfully. And, like, you know, I was just reading something today on the subject of nuclear physics. I'm just a total amateur in this area, and unfortunately I don't always get everything right, but I try, because I've been studying it since I was at TCU, when I was an honor student and elected to do something totally outside my field, because I was a fine arts major, and I elected to go into nuclear physics. Shocked everybody, including my advisors, like, what planet do you live on, Glenda? And I said, well, all of them. I like to study things that pertain to universal information. So I started my fascination with nuclear physics at that time, but it's grown. Oh, my gosh, there's so much. I can't even keep up with where the latest trend and the latest ideas are, because, you know, in a field that is this universal and this nebulous, meaning cloud-like, You kind of have to lead with a postulate. You kind of have to lead with the idea, because you can't lead with discovery. The elements there are too subtle to say that I've discovered this, that, or something else. It's not like discovering America, you know. And then it's okay, guys, send the ships over. It's not like that. It's, you have to lead with ideas and lead with intuition and a basic understanding of how the mechanics of the universe work. But that's what fascinates me, because I think, wow, our creator was beyond genius to see and construct from the smallest level of micro-engineering something that would expand and explode into what we have today. Just all this unbelievable. But the one thing I took away from it, that I was looking for something I could take away from it to bring you guys today. And I know you don't want to hear about nuclear equations. Okay, but I did bring back something that you will like. And that is that there's always a balance maintained between energy. And so when you give, you create a vacuum that will have to be filled. And the tendency is to fill it with something similar, because that's what creates the filler for a displacement. Whatever created the vacuum is now a displacement, and it will attract in like kind. So if we give in love, we will attract in love. And our thoughts actually count for that, which is another thing that I found interesting to bring to you guys today, because the amount of energy it takes to think is about the same as the amount of energy it would take to dig a 6-foot-long ditch. So there's not, you know, you think, oh, well, it all comes down to muscle and bone and physical stress and lifting and perspiration. No, it doesn't. It comes down to the generation of electrons and neutrinos and all these fine, fine particles that make up our universe. And I would assume that at the base of this would be the adamantine particles. But the generation of all of these particles, the redistribution of them, takes massive amounts of energy. That creates a displacement, and that displacement will have to be filled. So when you go out and you create a garden to create nourishing food, just even the thought and the planning of doing that could make you tired. Have you ever wondered why you could just think about a plan and get tired from it? Well, that's it, my friend. And then you go out and you actually dig up the garden space, you know, with shovel and spade and rake and hoe. So you're digging, and then you're distributing good topsoil on it. And you think, well, you know, I feel so much better. Well, what you did, digging up the garden, didn't take as much energy as thinking about it. This is something I really want to bring home to you, my friends, because we have this conception that if we think through something, we can save energy. We got that plan. Actually, the best thing you could do is just to go out with your hoe and start digging. And the digging will bring forth the plant. It's really true. It's really true, you know. You need to have some income. Go pick up something you can give to your neighbor. your friend, your kids, Goodwill, whatever other charity. Just go give away something, create a vacuum, and watch what fills it. And then, along with that, you'll get thoughts about what to do with it. We've got enormous misconceptions about so many things. Even, occasionally I'll discuss the whole subject of entropy with you as really being the essence of energy consuming itself over a long period of time, and eventually our universe will be reduced to nothing. Well, there's the other side to it that I wasn't really aware of, but it's a good thing to bring back to all of us today. And that is the dispersal of energy is actually what sets entropy into motion. And have you ever noticed on these days where you're just not organized and you just do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you go shopping, you walk the dog, you come home, you lost a little energy or a lot of energy, so you're going to have some tea, and then you think, well, I'll just chat up with a friend, you call a friend, and you're worn out. And you say to yourself, what in the dickens did I do today? Ever had any days like that?
Sure.
Well, my friends, I have a lot of them. The major onset of entropy, which is the loss of energy, is wider dispersal than you can recollect. This is a very functional application of a powerful teaching that Yeshua gave us in Love Without End about compression and expansion. And it was about how we could simply overexpand our energies or our creations to the point we could not recollect them. We could not bring them back into a state of intense collection or compression. And therein, we gain energy. Well, so I want to suggest to you that if you're a little low on energy, I would suggest a prayer. I would suggest a nap. Or I would actually suggest going to the kitchen and making something like a smoothie. Just get busy. Collect some fruit, some juice, some nuts, some coconut juice or whatever you like in your, some greenies that you like in your smoothie. Make up a smoothie. Get real vigorous about it. Put some energy into compression. That's how you're going to get energy back. Okay? And this really, really goes along with Yeshua's teaching to us about even the small thing, like the widow's mite, the parable of the widow's mite. It was tiny, but she put her whole heart into it. In other words, she compressed her love into that tiny, tiny, little, basically worthless coin. But by the time she put her love and her heart into it, it was no longer worthless. And he was praising it for what she did. So I would say just a little thing you want to do that you do intensely. Instead of dispersing, which loses energy, collect and intensify, which builds energy. And most of the time it will need to be physical because it's hard to collect our intellectual energy that tightly. Sometimes I can do it, but only usually if he's already talked to me for about 30 minutes. And then I go write down everything he said, and that's a very intense experience. But I wanted to teach you something practical that I brought away from that study and relate it to what Yeshua has taught us. And you can find every single bit of this in Love Without End. It's in slightly different words, but he talked about how we can overextend in pointless ways and lose the concentration power of our life. It's better just to do something that you would think is unimportant. Maybe just clean the house, but you're doing it intensely and you're pulling your energy together. And when you're done, it's like, oh, well, that was great. I think I really will go walk the dog now. You know, you feel good after you've pulled in this intense energy. Well, what happens to us in the blessing is that the blessing givers are actually attracting from this very, very dispersed field of your life. They're attracting potential, whether it's in idea form or energetic form or talent form or stuff that's been given to you, and it's just stuck out there in the clouds. You never received it. You know, we've all got a huge receiving problem. Really, it's a huge receiving problem. And because we've got that receiving problem, we go and study things like the law of attraction, which is actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it's a ridiculous concept. It's a ridiculous concept because the fact is you are a magnet. You are love. You draw everything to you. The problem is your cup is full. You can't empty it. And so you can't, the universe is full of things with your name on it and there's no place for it. You can't pull it in. So the problem is not in attracting, it's in receiving. That's the problem. So, there are two ways you can intensify your receiving. And that is, number one, take what you've already received and use it. Use it up. You know, you've been given the love of your family, the love of your neighbors, the love of life. Go plant a garden. Create a gift and give it to your neighbors. Do something with that love. Make something out of it and give it away. You know, pull together the blessings you have in your life. Turn it into something tangible enough to either use or give away or implement into the next stage of your life. This could be where study could be very important to you. Let's say you've got a very wide dispersed interest in something and you think, well, you know, I'll just look around on Google more and see what I find. That's not what you need, my friends. You don't need more that's on Google. You don't need more that's stuck out in the clouds. You need to take what's out in the clouds and pull it into something you can use. In other words, you need to pull it in and apply it. Apply it. Yeah, this is what Yeshua was talking about with the parable of the talents. He gave the same amount of talents to everybody. Some people just thought about it. Some put it on a shelf and saved it. Some saved it for a rainy day. Some thought, well, I'll build it. I'll build on it. And then I'll get around to using it. And some just went out, put some elbow grease in it and used it. Well, those are the ones he gave more talents to. Because, and it's not really just a reward system that he was implementing. It's like the one who used it now had an empty bucket. There was a place to give him more rewards. Other parables I can give you are about the productive fig tree or the productive anything, the grapevine. If it produces the grapes, if it produces the figs, actually, what will happen is inside that fig tree, it will be manufacturing buds for the next season. And so you go in after the production season is over, you're gonna trim it. You're gonna groom it and clip the used up branches off, and you'll count the buds that are remaining. And then those buds will grow. But the buds are not set for the next year if the vine did not produce for this year. I can tell you firsthand, as a very joyful and sometimes frustrated vineyard owner, that I would trim my own vineyard. We had 14 acres, and we actually sold to Kroger Food Store, the table grapes. We sold to two of the premier Texas wineries. We had a great vineyard when it worked. It just wasn't destined to work in North Texas. And we made a mistake there, because it just was not a good judgment call. But I don't want to take up your time on that particular judgment call. What I want to say on the point of is that when I went in to trim the vineyard after the first hard freeze happened, we started in the late fall, we would start clipping the vines and pulling them off. We would count the buds for the next year. And where there had not been a productive vine, there would be no buds on that vine. There would be none. So it was the utilization of potential that caused the replenishing of potential. You know, I think so often we say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm going to save that. I don't really have an application right now. I'm going to save it. I'll save back. Well, my word to you right now is go find an application so you can use it. Because it's the usefulness of anything that causes the replenishment of it. And this is a nuclear scientific law. I studied it today, and I went all the way back to the law, and I thought, oh, my Lord, how did I ever miss that? But that's exactly what Yeshua taught us.
Yeah.
But he taught it to us in kindergarten language that we could all understand. Well, we've grown a little bit since then, and I think that I should use with you now just a little bit more sophisticated language, because you're going to say to me, yeah, Glenda, I've heard that before. I don't really know what it means, but I've heard it. So I'm going to save it up until I do understand it. Okay, your time has come, guys. Find a use for everything and use it. That's what's going to replenish everything. And the lack of, you actually can't save anything beneficially. You can't. That's the other part of entropy. You try to save it and it disappears. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example that I know you've all experienced. You don't use your muscles. What happens to those muscles? Yep. The primary cause of especially premature aging, but all aging really, comes down to not using the muscles, your muscles. And that doesn't mean you got to go work out in the gym, or you got to run a mile every day, or more than a mile, or keep up activities that are not suitable for your life. But clean the house. Dig, plant a garden, for heaven's sake. Banish the grandkids. If you want to use up some energy beneficially, they'll do it for you. They'll eat it up and spit it out. So there are things you can do. Use that energy that you think you're saving. You actually can't save energy. That's our biggest problem right now in creating an energy conservative world. Because what does conserve mean? It means save. It means save. Okay. You can conserve, if you know how to preserve fruits and vegetables, you can and preserve a crop of peaches and pears. Do it right, put it in the jars, and you'll have it to eat all winter. So yes, there are practical things like that, but you're doing it in order to use it. If you don't use it, there'll be no room for storing next year, you know, and eventually it will go bad. So it's the attempt to store the attempt to store that uses up the most energy. And the lack of coordination and organization that allows our days and our life to become too dispersed that causes the loss of energy. That's the primary cause. And then trying to, because we see, in the sequence of our mind, we know all these things because we are a universe unto ourselves. So we know all this, but you don't know it in your intellectual mind, and I'm supplying that information for you. Okay. You've got energy dispersing. Your day is dispersed, and you're tired, and you didn't do anything. You said, what in the dickens did I do? I didn't do anything. Well, that's the problem, my friend. You didn't do anything. Okay. But anyway, so next step is, okay, tomorrow I'm going to save up my energy. It's not going to get the job done. Okay. So now let's get back to the blessing. So what is God doing? He's using his energy on you. He's giving you energy to use. The very best way to discover the blessings you have received is to go do something with it. Just go do something. And that will bring forth, you'll say, wow, I didn't do that before. What has happened to me? Have you ever had that happen? Okay, or you go do something and say, well, you know, that was actually easy. I didn't think I even knew how to do that. You see, you've got to use it. You don't use muscles, say atrophy. You don't use your mind. You stop thinking. You don't use any ability. I get a little bit scared. I don't mind saying, because I haven't painted in 3 years. And I think I better do something soon. Because mentally thinking about all these paintings I want to do is not going to get the job done. And I don't want to lose that talent. Because it's been my lifeblood. Since I was a year old, drawing with crayons. So, but that's just how you could think. I'm just giving you little examples about how you could think. Okay, Nancy, we are building up people in our board.
We are.
Yeah.
I love it.
And what do you think about everything I said?
Oh, well, you know, it's like makes me think of Nike. Just do it and... You know, what you said in Love Without End about procrastination, it just seems to rob you of energy. When you get up and do it, you say, why didn't I just do that in the first place?
Yeah.
Why didn't I just get up and boy, you gain energy when you seem to move forward.
Exactly.
And now you're explaining about the bucket, though. That's really great. Emptying the bucket so you can fill it. You know, that's fabulous.
Well,
yeah.
It just happens automatically when you use your energy. You do empty the bucket. And before you know it, you look back around and the bucket's full again.
You know, and my dear friend whose mom lived to be 100, that was sort of her motto. She was touching her toes every morning and, you know, dancing around and moving her body and, you know, doing crossword puzzles and just always engaging and doing things. And it just kind of gave her energy and she was 100.
Of course.
Of course
it will.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Well, we have got lots of lovely, lovely folks here. I'm going to open Elizabeth's line. Let's see if I've got you, Elizabeth. Can you hear me, Elizabeth?
Yes, fine, Nancy. Hi, and hi, Glenda, and thank you. Light bulbs going on in my head after just what you just said. Bing, bing, bing. Got it. Thank you very much. Learn something new every Sunday with what you speak about. It's always right on. So thank you for that, and I would just like to ask for a couple of blessings for friends who are not doing well physically. First is that my friend Linda Long, who's just got pretty much cancer throughout her body at the moment and is just remaining so positive and is such a light to the world in the way she's handling what's happening. So I would ask Yeshua to just come in and help her to heal from what's going on with her. And I have another friend in New Orleans, Nick Daniels, who's dealing with kidney problems and is in the ICU in Ochsner. If you could shine a light on Nick and help him. And, and another girlfriend who recently lost, like her soulmate, a very close friend that she could talk to, and he died very suddenly. And I just saw something that she put on Facebook, and she's just hurting. So I'd ask a blessing for Maureen Rice to just help her heart, because this was such a close friend, and it's only a short time since he lost his life, and she's just, you know, missing him like we all do. It's a human thing. So just to soothe her soul. And just a blessing for me, I'm going to New Orleans on Wednesday for the annual Jazz Fest, because music is my love, and I've spent a lot of time there, and I'm going to see people I love and know. And I would just ask for a blessing for a safe journey, and for me to meet all the friends and loved ones I need to, and just for it to be a peaceful, easy, musical, loving time for me in New Orleans, which is my second home. And
take me with you.
Yes, I know you've been there, because I've worked with the jazz camp at Loyola University, and I know I know you were there, and I know you have a connection with New Orleans as well, and it's just very big in my life, and I miss
seven
it,
years.
And I'm just yes.
I was there 7 years.
That's a long time.
Yes,
it is for me too, and there are different people down there, and they've got such a spirit of resilience, and the hurricanes they've been through, and just so much goes on there. It's a very, I don't know, just there's nowhere else quite like it that I've ever been, and I just send blessings to the whole city as well, to New Orleans, and for a peaceful time over the Jazz Fest with the music. It's all people who love music, so it's going to be a wonderful time, and it's my 30th anniversary of going every single year without missing one year. I've been there for 30 years. It's just it's like a big event for me. So I'm just asking Yeshua to just come with me and bless everyone. Bless everyone there. So thank you for the blessings. Yes. And thank you for what you just said. It struck home, went straight into me. So thank you, Glenda, for your wisdom. You're one of the wisest people on the planet, I believe. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, sometimes you just have to get practical about how to live, how to receive and live with the blessings that are already here in life. Then other times you can get quite philosophical and mystical. But we don't want to leave everything out there in just the world of thought. Yeshua told us to use everything we've been given. And by using it, we empty the bucket and get the bucket filled up again. That's the best way to attract anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Give it away. Yep. Well, we look forward to hearing about your trip.
Thanks, Nancy. Yes, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a big celebration. 30 years, I can't believe it. It's just where does time go? Wow. But it's going to be wonderful. I can feel it in my soul. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, see, that would have been 94, right?
Yes, exactly. First time I went there in 94. Yes.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Safe travel.
Thank you.
And we are going to open up. I believe this is Nancy's line. Is this Nancy?
Hey. Hey, y'all. I'm in a weird space right now. My sister's doing great. She has, you know, the stem cells working. We'll find out for sure with the next MRI at the end of the month. My diabetes is in a manageable state, high blood pressure, and David's her husband is in a manageable state with his diabetes and heart problems and everything. So we're in a good state. The thing is that Laura found out that she, while she was stationed in Guam there in her stint in the Navy, she was exposed to exfoliated, all the stuff that they did to get rid of the jungle. And including Agent Orange. And so, that's why she's having trouble with cancer and everything. All of her, pretty much all of her health problems are from that. So she's going to be putting in for, full disability and with the VA and, so they can help with that, I guess. I don't know, but just finding out about that and also the indigenous people of Guam that are exposed to it and, are being killed from all of that stuff. So we're in an interesting place. So blessings to the indigenous people everywhere. And to the family and friends and, you know, and things. And so we're doing our best. I would also like to ask for guidance in finding professionals to get us through old age. I found a wonderful chiropractor. I found, I'm looking for a new dentist. things like that. So, give us through the thing, but that's the main thing to bless those who
gotta get through this. Yes.
But thank you, everyone. I understand. You know, I do not want to lose my singing voice, Belinda. You don't want to lose your baby. I don't want to lose my singing voice. So, and I was singing the other day. I wasn't quite hitting my high notes, but I'm getting there.
Good.
So, there you go. Thank you.
All these blessings are waiting for you. You just have to collect them. They're there. And they will find you. They will find you because you have asked for them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. We're so glad you called. Glenda, we have another Nancy. Hi, Nancy. We haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
Hi. No, I haven't been calling in recently, but I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Hello to everybody and to Glenda and Nancy. And I have a request for a special blessing. And there's something really wonderful about this particular person. Her name is Mimi. And she needs a joint replacement, and her surgery will be this coming Tuesday. And she's been in terrible pain recently. Her hip degraded really rapidly, and little pieces of bone have been breaking off. So, it's been awful. But she's found a very good surgeon, and it's Tuesday. So those are the basic information about my request for the blessing.
Good.
But, here's the other wonderful part. She's a student of Love Without End, and she was especially inspired by the chapters on God and reality and Jesus on science. So, before she retired, she was an emergency room nurse, but she began studying quantum physics. And now, she now leads a deeply spiritual seminar on quantum issues growing out of Love Without End.
Amazing.
So, yes, and when you were discussing quantum physics in this particular Sunday's message, I said, wow, how synergistic that
exactly.
She needs the blessing this Sunday. So, wow. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And she's got to tell her she's going to be a new woman on the other side of this.
Yes, she is, and I am so thankful. She was having bumps in the road. You know what that's like. But she has landed in a very good place with a wonderful surgeon with really terrific training. And so it's just going to be a whole different life for her after after she recovers. Yeah. So I ask that blessing for Mimi.
Okay.
And I encourage everybody to be inspired by the quantum reality.
Well, you know, it's all just because we don't see it, we think, oh, well, as long as God knows what it is, I don't need to know. But actually,
it's good to be aware so you can use it.
That's it, Nancy. That's it. And to realize that on the small, it's not that different than life is on the big. It's all part of a beautifully integrated system.
Isn't it wonderful? Thank you, God.
Oh, the genius of all geniuses, beyond genius, just, he amazes me. He thrills me. I fall to my knees. There is just, I can't imagine the extraordinary presence of all.
I know, it's awesome, isn't it? It's hard to find words to say it. Yes.
You can't. You can't. But
no.
The thing is, we're sitting inside it, and on a starry night, sometimes I will sit outside and just think, how great thou art.
I do, too. I sing that hymn all the time.
Do you? Oh,
yes.
I love that hymn.
I do, too. But that really is the blessing that I was seeking this Sunday. So I'll let other people have their turn. But thank you so much. And thank everybody who will be blessing Mimi today. And also, if you could remember her Tuesday, that would be good, too.
Of course. Of course. I will, too. And the night before, which is very important.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye, honey. And thank you for the joy. You added a lot of joy to this call today.
Good. Thank you. Bye.
Nancy, with all the laughter, I can hear the laughter in both of you.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Thank you, Nancy. We have Tara. Hi. Your line is open, Tara Kim.
Hello, everyone, and hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy. A couple of blessing requests today. And there is a little Brittany Spaniel dog that is with American Brittany Rescue's name is Happy, a puppy. And the puppy was born with one of the chambers of his heart too narrow to restrict blood flow, and they're doing a heart surgery on the 24th. And I would like to request a blessing and prayers for him getting through that surgery okay and finding a beautiful, beautiful home afterwards as well. So I got a picture of him. I wish you could see the precious little one. But yeah, they've already
made a picture.
Plenty. Oh, I will. Okay.
Good.
And he's
send me
he
a picture. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, and he's got, they raised all the money for the surgery and everything, but he definitely needs a lot of prayers for a surgery like that. So,
well,
I will send
you know,
that on.
If there's that many people loving him, he'll find a great home.
Oh, there's 188 people donated to him, so that was really awesome.
Wow.
So, that
wow.
was a really good thing.
Oh, he's already a superstar.
He is. He totally is. I think it took 48 hours.
Heart.
And they had, yeah, exactly. And then I, just two other blessings I'd like to request too. We are going to be getting in touch with a real estate agent named Jake, my mom and I and Bert for selling her home. And I'd just like a blessing for that relationship and the whole process of selling her home and finishing the cleaning out and moving her to Colorado, which we're targeting for mid-June.
So just a little extra support for that, especially with the relationship with the real estate gentleman, Jake, who we think will be really helpful, hopefully. So.
Well, good. Good. Excellent.
And then the final blessing I'd like to request is just for my husband, Bert, and he's just had a lot of physical things going on, little weird things like when he gets up and he gets dizzy and his eyes shimmering and stuff. And so just a blessing for him, too, with whatever's going on and his back and stuff that he's been having difficulties with for a while.
Okay. Okay. Many blessings for stability and balance and just being totally in charge of his life again.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you for always remembering your beautiful family and bringing them into the blessing. I'm so glad you're here. So have a great day, and we are going to open up another line. We have Stormy. Your line is open.
Yes, it's Stormy.
No, the weather's great here, Stormy.
Hey, I was just asking on this blessing call how I might receive a blessing and nourish my soul, as I often do, for every call. And 30 minutes, all of a sudden, before the call, I received a blessing that will last me this lifetime and on. And I got to experience, and I'm still experiencing, what it meant for everybody who gathered together in so many different spots to be underneath the sun the other day. And I'm experiencing what they experienced, strangers coming together in a communion of spirit. That's what that really meant about everybody gathering together. That was what was really important about so many people from various places come together in
exactly.
a unique experience. And I'm feeling that. I hope you can feel it too. It is an incredible
Stormy. That's it. That's the power that we get from it. Because, exactly. And actually, as Yeshua talks about in Love Without End, indigenous people used to gather to watch the sun set and the sun rise. And it was their coming together to, they didn't worship the sun, they admired the sun. They knew that it was giving them the basic energy of their life. And they would actually get physical blessings in the way of healing. They would get their minerals and their vitamins. Everything that is available on earth comes from the sun. And you get it directly from the sun. But it's hard to be there directly, you know, at noon. It's easy when the atmosphere has filtered it, and then it becomes a more concentrated experience when others do it with you, which is basically how I opened this presentation today, is the concentration of potential that brings it into a powerful and focused event. So I think this is what people really, really get from going to concerts, even more than the music, is they get the concentrated energy of people there enjoying it together.
Mm-hmm.
Same with athletic events. Same with, important public events. We come together at a concentrated moment, and we get the fullness of that benefit delivered to ourselves. It's a wonderful thing to experience that you can't experience in isolation.
Also, I got to use my voice a couple of days ago for a friend of my housekeeper who, rents from her and is driving around right now, but he needs to come in for a minute. And, I sang one of my crystal ball notes for him, and I create a resonance that he recognized as I get into a surround sound with my voice. It's everywhere. And as I work it up and get into one of those crystal ball notes, it becomes a surround sound, and he could feel it. And then I told him, I said, well, I just didn't sing a note. What I sang was your everlasting soul. And he really appreciated that. And I do this. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know how I use my many, many talents. Just a blessing to be able to sing one of my crystal bowl notes for somebody. It just fills up an entire room when I get to resonating. It's just, I just can't say how grateful I am. You know, I get to see the soul of humanity all the time. But today I got to see what it meant specifically for all of those people who gathered together, and the warmth of that communion is overwhelming. It is just overwhelming with love and joy and beauty. It's been a bit of a new experience for me, the one who sees the soul of humanity, but to actually today really experience.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful experience, Stormy. Thank you for sharing.
And we'll be
looking for those things if they happen for us again.
Oh, and I think it was Elizabeth. I'm going to give you some angelic jazz to go down to New Orleans. I'm not that far away.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Stormy. Have a great week.
Okay, we have Christopher. Hi, Christopher. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
Hi. Well, first of all, Glenda, I love you. I mean, I really love hanging out with you. It's like being in college. You know, some of my happiest times in my entire life were as an undergraduate. My mind was so ripe for what I was learning, and sitting with you is like that. You know, it's just like I remember sitting with those great professors, and some of them were quite enlightened, you know, spiritual beings, and just having my mind fire off with all of that inspiration, sitting there with my notebook, just the smoke coming out of my pen. So anyways, I just love what you were sharing. I'm also feeling like we're in such accordance today, like Nancy called it out in the beginning, the joy of this day, and just hearing your sharing and Elizabeth and Nancy talking about, you know, using what we have. It's so in alignment with what I felt called to share this morning when I was praying about to receive what we've been given. So I think I need to write a dissertation about it. I can't say the whole thing right now, but it's,
well, please do.
Well,
that would be a very valuable.
Well, it's okay. So you were talking on the macro level of astrophysics, and I was looking up more on the cellular, intracellular level, and the level of epigenetics and DNA. And so, basically, I was reading a book about the book is called "Love Is a Choice," and it's written by these three amazing doctors. One of them is a psychologist, two of them are psychiatrists, and they're all Christ-oriented people in a very equitable kind of way that they convey that, their love of Christ and of God, and because they're all really coming from the perspective of trying to help people, and they've helped hundreds of people dealing with what they call codependency within their families, and helping them heal their relationships. And one of the things that's been really sticking out to me is this idea of how we inherit, the Bible talks about the sins of our ancestors, but we inherit not only the greatness of what our ancestors did, but also some of the things that weren't working. And that actually takes root in our epigenetics and and in our DNA. And so say you have an experience of growing up in a family where you weren't loved and seen the way that you needed to be, or where you were, heaven forbid, abused in some way, or maybe you had alcoholism around you, or some form of workaholism, or any of those things. It's like your cup of love wasn't filled up. And this actually affects your mitochondria. I was reading a scientific article about that this week. This actually, those kind of early experiences affects the functioning of your mitochondria and your body's ability to get rid of the ones that aren't working and to replenish them with ones that are. And so as you get older,
exactly.
Since mitochondria are such an important part of the generation of energy in the body, as you get older, that's a natural thing to happen anyways, that the effectiveness of your mitochondria goes down. But if you've had trauma, or if you have some kind of ancestral condition coming down through the generations where there was loss or abuse or abandonment generation after generation, it's affecting the physical functioning of your body. And I love that when you call upon Yeshua at the end in the blessing prayer, you often say, Yeshua, Lord of life. And I think about how Him as Christ, as super conscious, was able to touch someone, see through all those generations that had manifested in this condition right now and say, you are healed. And to think that His touch and His consciousness was able to change the epigenetics, the DNA, to awaken these latent potentials, intracellular and intercellular potentials, at such a rapid pace that a person who was blind from birth or lame from birth was able to see or get up and walk.
Absolutely.
Because, the Lord of life. And so I'm thinking a lot about His gift of the crucifixion and the resurrection and the portals and dimensions of possibility of consciousness that became available to us to not only, help ourselves a little bit, but to heal these, some of them, ancient lines of dis-ease within our families, within our society. I'm just feeling hallelujah today. And all the way down into the mitochondria of our cells and all the kinds of possibilities that we don't even know about yet in terms of what our bodies can actually do. He does know and can touch those.
He does know. Oh, yeah. He does know. And He worked through generations, which is why He could change the world as fully as He did. It would be, for the rest of us, it's more like treating a blemish on our skin only by treating the skin. But He treated the body in order to heal a blemish on the skin. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a blemish on the skin. We go to a dermatologist and they apply a procedure that treats that blemish on the skin. He doesn't do that. He treats the soul and the whole body, and then all of a sudden there is no blemish on the skin.
Isn't that right?
So, that's the access level He has from His perspective of knowing exactly how this universe is created, exactly how time moves forward, compounding greatness, but also compounding mistakes, compounding error and dysfunction. And it does get compounded and is passed on. I think with a genuine hope that somewhere down the line there will be an inheritor of my mistakes who will solve them for me.
Yes, indeed.
Glenda, what about in the Bible where where He went along and saw a blind man and someone asked Rabbi who sinned, was this his man or his parents? And he said neither. this happens so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And I always think that's terrible too, because we can hold on to that idea, but we can also know that all of that, like you said, Brenda, standing in the presence of love can transmute and transform it all, right?
Exactly. True.
It's true.
Utterly.
Well, you know, Christopher, we could have a college course just between you and I, but
let's
do it right now.
Let's do it. Okay, so one thing I
want
to say.
You know, we met you before it's all over. I think that might be a brilliant idea, Christopher, but not right now. Okay.
I'm in. All right, so last thing I want to share is if anybody's interested in what we're talking about, Love Without End, between like pages 415 and 419 or so, he talks about these things, the DNA. I mean, really to get the sense of what we've been given, of what's accessible to us.
Uh-huh.
And the gift that he gave in the crucifixion and the resurrection, the portals that are opened of grace to repattern our lives is just so big. So that would be my blessing, is that we inherit, fully receive even more of what we've been given. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that request, because we all need that.
And I know how you feel, Christopher, when you get so excited, when you understand something, especially when you're reading Love Without End, and you just want everybody to get inside of you to understand it the way you do in that moment, because it's such a gift and a blessing, and you're just like, oh, I just want everybody to know. So thank you, because we'll go ahead and take a look at that for sure.
Thanks, everybody. Have a blessed week. I love you all.
Love you, too.
Oh, we love you, too. Bye, Christopher.
Glenda, we have one more caller. We have Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Aloha, Nancy and Glenda and our beloved community. Just so grateful to be a part of this community. So much depth and love and the depth of love and wisdom, and I'm so grateful. I want to ask a special blessing for my boyfriend, Scott, and just his very depressed, just spiritually and mentally and even physically. And then also just for how I can best support him. It's like he doesn't want my advice, and I have so much empathy, but I don't see him taking any action, and that's really, just how do I support him, his blessing for him, mm-hmm. Yes, everyone knows what he needs, and also how do we support one another, in general. And then I want to ask for, blessing for my dear friend Soma, and in particular in our home in California, just a neighbor who is hard to get along with, and, loud barking dog type things. So just a general blessing, too, just for all of our neighbors, for relations between neighbors. Can we may we work things out with one another and hear one another's needs. And then finally, a blessing for me and for all my brothers and sisters who can relate to this, just this blessing of how to more and more fully trust God's plan, and more let go of self-judgment and judgment of others. And that I ask for me and for my brothers and sisters.
Well, you got it from me, and of course you always have it from Christ.
Yeah.
And just reach out for it and take it in. You know, sometimes, with regard to your boyfriend, I have got something to say in reply to that I think fits everybody. There's probably somebody in everybody's life that you want to help. And you try, and you love them, and you don't know what to do. Is everybody raising their hand?
Yeah.
At least one person. Well, the best way I have found is I make myself available, and I let them come to me. You know, the thing is, when a person actually comes to you, that means that they're willing to receive your help. They're willing to receive something you have in the way of wisdom or support or, and one of the ways I treat other people almost like I would, people who are very resistive and hard to read. I almost treat them like a stray kitten. You know, mm-hmm. if there was a stray kitten around the house, I would leave food out around the house. And I'd let the kitten come and find the food. And then I'd take it up so I could put it back, always have water out, and I'd take it up, put it back, and then I'd say, hi, how are you doing? Hey, so cute today, you know, and then I'd leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to create a safe space, because one of the reasons so many people are depressed, and then from the depression into the many complications of depression, is they have been greatly misunderstood by other people. And the last thing they want is to be misunderstood again. The last thing they want, and especially from someone they love. Mm. They couldn't stand being misunderstood by somebody they love.
Yeah.
Now, what you're doing, Sarah, or anybody else, when you leave cookies, when you leave little cat food out for the stray kitten, or cookies out for the children, whatever you're doing, you're showing that I understand that you need to be the one that chooses. So you're showing them already that you understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You let them call you.
Yeah.
But you could make, you know, just, like, I've got this friend who's kind of the same way. And if I walk through a Hallmark card store and I see something that reminds me of her, she's got Pomeranians. And you can almost always find a cute little funny card. That make a joke out of a Pomeranian, cute little doggy. And I just say, I was walking in a shop today and saw something that reminded me of you. Hope you're doing well. Love you. That's all. Don't say anything else.
Yep.
I might hear from her a couple of weeks later. And that's right. That's right. But even then, I don't say, is there anything I can do for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other good thing you could do, which I do, like, let's just say my friend calls me and I say, you know, I kind of need your help on something.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I need you. I need your help on something. You were telling me a year ago about a place I could go get such and such done. Do you remember what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep. Yeah,
and it's not something that sounds like it's a setup. It's just I really would like to know, you know. And I've got, I had ministries that worked to varying degrees, but always well enough that Christ was there in third world countries. And there's always somebody there suffering. And there's always somebody there that thinks whatever we do, we're up to something. Oh, they just want to see what they can get from us. Well, my goodness, what in the world do we want? What are we going to do? Are we going to go raise your bank account? You don't have one.
Right.
You know? But the way I bring them out of their shell is I let them know what they can do for me. Like one instance, I was reading about an herb that grows in this particular area of West Africa. And I was saying, you know, I have been reading about this herb. Have you ever seen it actually grow over there? Because I thought maybe you could tell me if people actually used it.
Right.
You know, make them important.
That's right. Right. Respect them.
Yeah, make them important to you. Let them help you. Okay?
Yeah.
And leave the cookies out.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It will, I mean, I see all the signs from your boyfriend. is he's not doing well because he doesn't feel important. He doesn't feel respected. Nobody needs him. Okay?
Yep.
And nobody understands him. And nobody understands what he's going through. So what you can do is understand that he needs to be kind of left alone and respected until he takes the first move.
Okay.
He'll love you for it. We women are the world's worst at wanting to just actively nurture because we're built for it. God made us to be that way. So I mean, I don't blame us for that. It's our instinct. But sometimes you gotta put a bridle on yourself. Nurture in reverse. Okay.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Nurture in reverse. That's cool.
Ooh.
Especially with these elegant, wonderful, heroic guys we call the men of our life. Let them feel that way, okay?
Absolutely.
That's what they need. What they need. Sometimes we make somebody feel small by nurturing them, especially when that's not what they want.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep. Totally.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That brought out some really good stuff for everybody, so it applies to all of us.
We really turned practical today, didn't we, Nancy?
Yeah. But there was a lot of joy overriding it. You can just hear it in everybody, so that's good.
Well, you know, there's a lot of joy in making things work.
Yeah. Sure is. Sarah, you're gonna come back with, Can't wait to hear how the reverse nurturing is working, because I think it's gonna be wonderful.
Thank you.
Let us hear about that. All right.
We have
one more caller, right?
We do. Thank you, Sarah. We love you. Vicky hopped on, so I'm opening your line, Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
How are you today?
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Very well, thank you. I hope you all are also. I have initially one request for a mother cardinal that flew into the store that I work in when her baby came in this afternoon. The baby got tired. And it went to the floor. And so one of the ladies that works there was able to actually pick it up and take it outside. We saw that the mother was still searching for it. So, you know, 45 minutes later. We have a recording, a CD of a waterfall and birds playing. And it hit me all of a sudden that mother was confused because she's hearing other birds. So I unplugged it, and it got silent. Well, I'd love for everyone to put so much of what you have shared with us, Glenda, about putting our focus and thoughts towards seeing that mama bird fly out the door, because they opened the big glass sliding doors to the back outdoor. I work at a garden center. And see her fly out, and particularly fly by this man who was not very positive about her chances of getting out of that building. I talked to him. I said, she'll get out. So I hope, and let's just put forth that effort for her.
Okay. That's beautiful.
And right now she's scared because she's running from everybody and all the things that might hurt her. So she's, but when it calms down and everybody's gone, she'll find her way out.
She was frantic. Beautiful little female cardinal. And the other thing is, I want to say thank you again, as always, every Sunday. There is a poignant point that you make that supports my life. And Yeshua is always there to support us all. And I give thanks every day that he works through you, Glenda. What Christopher brought up today, I'd like for Christopher to know that has been a part of my experience in life for the last at least 40 years, and I've been processing it like a little neophyte on again, just so many things, particularly in my family line, and I wanted to say great thanks for all that is brought up and that understanding. I feel that I got a little more of a piece of the puzzle today. And so I'm grateful to all of you, and I love you. I love this community, and I'm grateful to have Sunday afternoon every week with you.
Oh, we love you, too, and we're glad you're part of us. So, yeah, thanks. And, you know, you brought up something I can recommend to other people, and that is that there are a fairly respectful number of people who have studied and practice and teach with regard to therapy on generational healing. And mm-hmm. you might want to actually search for, I found quite a few books. They're not in front of me now, so I can't give you a tangible recommendation, but if you just go to Amazon Books and put into the search generational healing, you'll find quite a lot. You might find something you really, really would be extremely interested in. So
what has happened? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay. All I was going to say, what has been interesting, Glenda, is that it's like my life has unfolded little by little to teach me this and to guide me as to the process of doing this. And I know that y'all know I shared back when I had that big move from Jacksonville, Florida to Lexington, Kentucky, and then had to leave, and then here in Tallahassee, Florida over the last year. And now I'm at the end of it, and it is the closure of this 40-year period of what has been the blessing of, well, what I now understand has been part of the gift that I feel has been a part of my life to share and come into the family that I was born into. And some of the very critical things necessary to confront and to be with and to love free, it's been done, and it's been all accomplished. And so within a month, I'm free to move on from this area, which is not my home. And I'll be looking for my home. And it's there. It's the most
Sunday,
a joyful day. It's a joyful day every day now.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you.
And thank you all.
We have Helen. I saw Helen is on the phone now. Hi, Helen.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
Hi, Helen.
Yeah. Hey, so, lately I've been, you know, every once in a while I get a note on the floor. And, you know, it's not something that I left there myself because I thought, how the heck did that get down there? Why would he be down there? So it was a prayer that I wrote down from another website. And it says prayer to annihilate encroachment. And basically, it's invoking, I take authority, for example, you start. I take authority in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ and shut down all demonic encroachment, obstructing all evil schemes to cause souls to sin and turn away from God. So it goes on for the whole page. So, and, you know, then I remember Daskalos, a Greek Cypriot teacher from Cyprus. And he was pretty amazing. He's not here now. He's somewhere else. So he was saying that thoughts are things. And we have to be very careful with thoughts to use the right words and to make sure that we are very careful with what we allow in our heads and how we express ourselves. And so so lately I thought to myself, okay, so I found the prayer on the floor and I wrote it down and I put it away somewhere on my desk. Well, lo and behold, it was in the middle of the dining room floor again. So I picked it up and I thought, huh, why would it be there? I don't want that to be ruined. So I put it back on my desk. And then I thought, huh, I bet you Jesus wants me to say something about this. So I started saying the prayer. And do you know, I felt so much better. A was feeling so much happier for a number of days. And I'm thinking, I wonder if there's negative things in here. So, you know, I asked Jesus the other day, please, can you flush out all the negative stuff out of here? I opened all the windows and I did the prayer again. And so I was thinking, I would like to have the blessing of protection from Jesus to sort of either learn the modi operandi. So, you know, in our daily living, because I've been listening to information about CERN and these other colliders that China apparently is building one even bigger. And apparently the one in Texas is around, and how they are thinning down the veil of protection that God has put around nasty stuff from reaching us, and how they are opening up portals to many dimensions, and that these things, these activities are allowing negative creatures to come into our realm. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, now, how do I learn how, you know, yes, staying close to Jesus is the way to go, but is there a way, is there a prayer to start the day? I'd like to have the blessing of knowledge, of protection, self-protection, to go about my day, knowing that I've got my air around me clean, my home is clean, my thoughts are clean, and I'm connected and aligned with Christ.
Well, the first step, Helen, is be careful what you think about.
Okay.
Because your thoughts are energy. They're not solid things yet, but they are energy. Your thoughts are energy, and that energy can manifest as the very thing that you're working on. You know, it becomes the thing you don't want. Let's just say you're thinking about some negative things. Not because you want them, but because you want to protect yourself from them.
Yep.
But those negative things then begin to emerge because your thoughts become the things. So your thoughts are energetic, and you spend a lot of energy on our thoughts. What most of us do not realize how much energy we invest in our thoughts. And so we're tired after we, especially if it's not a particularly positive thought we're thinking about. We're tired. We're worn out.
Yeah.
And then those thoughts we've been thinking start coming true because we thought of them. And so I would say the first thing when you get up in the morning, get busy. Don't just, you know, if you like tea, you like coffee, orange juice, whatever, have it, but have it and be active. And you know, get dressed or have your bath or whatever you do that's still active. And then you go about your day, make up your list and start doing it. Do number one on your list and then number two and stay active. So that actually most of the things you want to think about don't even need to be thought about. Really don't.
And focus on Christ and make my prayer and get about being busy. And let it go.
Exactly.
It's not my world. It's not something.
You
but
can't.
God,
if you can't change it.
Yeah.
If you can't change it, don't think about it. That's a pretty good rule, because what you do think about becomes something. And then if you can't do anything about it, wow, you got to say, well, why did I do that?
I'm writing notes.
Okay.
That's really helpful, though.
Okay.
That's,
you know what? That's
right
what I'm
going
to do. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let my cue. Because I sit here on the computer, and I listen to this or I listen to that, and I'm thinking, huh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe this is knowledge I should leave well enough alone. Because I'm not a powerful person who can handle dealing with that world. Not at all. I'm scared. I'd rather go and hide under the cloak of Christ, you know, and say, okay, please protect me. You know, so.
Exactly. Do that.
Okay, there you go.
Do that.
Okay.
You'll feel a whole lot better, and if you feel better, you will do better. If you do better, then the things you want will materialize.
Okay.
And not the things you don't want.
Yeah. Because I always think
don't
about
give
you,
energy
Glenda.
To things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so cheerful.
Don't give energy
you're so positive. And I like that cheerfulness about you.
Well, yeah. I don't give energy to things I don't want, Helen.
Okay.
And I could, believe me, I could, but I don't, because
that's
not going to have a, it's not going to have a benefit.
Don't give energy to...
to things you don't want.
What I don't want.
And as a matter of fact, here's something else you can write down.
Yeah.
And that is negativity will lose energy if nobody thinks about it.
Negativity? Oh, good.
And here's the second thing. Negativity cannot replenish itself. And now I'm going to give you a very positive example of that. You open your bank account, and I know this is not you. You don't have this problem. But for a lot of people, it is a problem. They open their bank account, and they're overdrawn. In other words, it's all negative. That negative cannot replenish itself. It's got to be replenished from some other source. But now, if on the other hand, you open up your bank account and it's all on the positive side, you've got options. You could take money and invest it and gain interest on your money. You could put it into a business and make money. You could give it to a friend and help somebody. There's all kinds of things you could do to multiply money that's on the positive side. Okay? You can multiply it in a thousand ways. Well, it's the same with thoughts. If you go into your thought bank, which is your mind, and it's all on the positive side, there's millions of things you could do with those positive thoughts. You go into your thought bank, and it's all on the negative side. There's nothing you can do with them. Nothing.
Okay.
Except the one thing you could do with them is start putting your energy in to fixing the fact that they're negative. But why do you want to fix something that's negative?
To get rid of it.
No, that doesn't get rid of it. You put energy into what's negative, you build it.
Okay. Withdraw energy.
What?
Withdraw energy from negativity.
Exactly. This is true, my friends, whatever you put energy into, you build.
Amen. For
okay.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to do that because so far I've been fine. I mean, minor things here and there, but I've been safe, thank God.
Well, you know, and not only is that a principle, but if you put energy into what's positive, eventually it will become so much bigger that by comparison, that negative thing you thought was so overpowering becomes minuscule by comparison. Unimportant. It might still be there, but it's so unimportant you go, oh, well, I guess you became a pebble on the ground. And then you get back to doing all the positive things. You never fix something that's negative. Don't fix it.
Okay.
Don't feed it, yeah.
Don't feed it. Please don't feed the monster. Don't feed the monster. Simple.
Thank you, Helen. Right. I think that was really good for everybody.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much, Glenda. All right.
You're very welcome.
I think I'm going to shut off the bloody YouTube.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Love you. Glenda, we do have one more caller. We have someone from Vermont, I believe. So exciting. Who's our caller today?
Hi, it's Dee Dee Tracy. And I am a Vermonter, but I have this number that's a little confusing because I live in California, you know.
Okay.
But it is a Vermont number. Thank you. That last call helped propel me in because everyone had been so positive and I didn't want to be a bummer. But your last call helped me immensely and I know these things, you know, the don't get into a negative tailspin. And stay with it. You know, just where your attention goes, energy flows is something I learned in motorcycle school. And just where, you know, just keep my focus in the positive. But I have had a rash on my body that is just continuing to grow. And it's been freaking me out a bit. And I was like, I don't want to go online and dig around and see what they look like. I just want to pray about it and have it be released. And the other night, as it just got worse and worse, because I've been in a fit of itchiness. So it's like, okay, when the itch comes, instead of itching on things, I'm going to pat it like a little baby, like a drum. I love myself. But it's like I woke up this morning and it's now creeping onto my shoulders. It's come right up the whole side of my backside and my hips. And it may be a heat rash. And the doctor had said he thought it was mosquito bites because that's what it started as looking like. And I had an appointment, so I just brought it up at the appointment. I've got these really itching things and I don't know exactly where they came from, but I had done a sauna. And, you know, it's just my mind has been in this spin about where did this start and what could it be? Is that a friend who has a cat and maybe there were fleas? You know, it's just like this. But I just want the itch to stop, and I would love blessings around this being healed.
We will bring blessings to that. And I would suggest that you try to see another person. Because you need to. Your perspective, I can tell by your voice, is very frustrated. And it's very frustrated. And you need to speak with somebody who can view this a little more objectively.
And if I could offer, Dee Dee, I've dealt with skin stuff with kids and nieces and nephews and raising kids. And my success has always been with homeopaths because, you know, the skin is sort of the least problematic way to deal with any kind of issue going on. You know, the way they look at the chi and the prana gets pulled off. So it's like one of the easiest ways to sort of, you know, you're off balance and it's trying to get you back in. And a homeopathic practitioner could really get the right remedy. And it's astounding how it can work like within a week. It's crazy. I would recommend something like that.
Yeah, thank you. I had acupuncture this week, and you know, it's just the taming my mind around it has been a real challenge, you know, and I've noticed that. And that whole like what you resist persists. I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase.
But we are.
Yeah, that's really been hitting home for me, and not just with this, but with someone in my life as well who really likes me and really likes to be around me, and I'm just needing space, and it's almost like just the constancy of the presence of this person is making me also want to get away more. And I'm trying to be like good neighborly and be Christ-like and not be frustrated in my encounters. So I'm just like, I don't know. There's that going on as well. So just setting my boundaries.
But we will send blessings to you. And then also, don't be afraid to seek answers, because if you had the answers, you would already be applying them. You don't have the answer. And sometimes we need to say that to ourselves. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dee Dee, we really need to go. We're way over our limit. But you're on the list.
Including me in there.
100. You are absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I need to say something to our whole group. You all are included.
whether you ask me or not, you're going to ask God, because he's the one that's going to give your blessing to you. I am a facilitator here to help you have confidence in knowing that you can actually receive a blessing. That's my job. And to inspire you, perhaps guide you in the direction of asking, receiving, understanding a little bit about how our universe works and how things do come together. So I've got my job to do, and then we bring our community in, because we want you to know, all of you to know, that there are others who really, really care about you. But we do, at the same time, really need to stick to a schedule. And it's not for my benefit. I could stay here till midnight. I love every minute of it. But there are people internationally, and they're getting to be quite a lot of them, who can't afford to just be on the call. They want to call in when the blessing is being done. And I've received a few emails while we were going on, like, when will the blessing be? When will the blessing be? And it's not easy to I'm not going to ever say, I'm not going to ever not take someone who's on the board. But the courtesy I would ask from all of you is that we don't make it such a long conversation. And I know some of you just love it because you love being in a conversation with me. And I love it too, but that's not the point. The point is we have to love other people also. And remember that it's okay if you don't come on, if you don't say everything you wanted to say, because God reads your heart. Okay? And I probably will start setting a time for the exact blessing and let you know when it is, so that way you can kind of you can help me maintain a schedule, because we do need to have that for the benefit of possibly another 100 people that are waiting to receive. And we want to be there for them too. So, you know, the ones we have that actually call in are small compared to the larger group that is waiting to receive. So, Nancy, thank you so much for guiding us through all of this and being our best friend as we call up the courage to ask. Because actually, every one of you that comes on the line and has the courage to ask is being a prayer partner for those who are remaining silent, but also need to know how to ask. Because it's, God says, ask and you will receive. And it's not always just from the Lord. I'm talking about, you know, I ask whenever I don't just rush to see a doctor. If I've got a problem that's medical, or if it's a problem financial, or if it's, I ask. And I just let it be known what I need before I rush out. I don't call people and, like go to a doctor and say, can you help me with this? No, I put out to God through prayer or through friends that I talk with, and I let it be known openly that I've got a problem and I need to find the right person for that problem. And I always find that that right person will show up. It always happens. I ask and I receive, and it's there. It's kind of like Helen was saying. She really needed some relief from the negativity she was drowning in, and she found this note about a prayer to ask for enlightenment and guidance and peace and joy, and it brightened her day. It was, you know, the thing is, whatever we ask for, you will get, but you have to ask. I have, the Apostle Paul said to the the Corinthians. He said they were complaining that we pray and we pray and we don't get anything. And he said, you receive not because you ask not. And they said, but we pray. No, you pray prayers of celebration and prayers of ritual. You don't ask. He was trying to get, it takes courage to ask. You know, I never in my whole life, my friends, got up the courage to ask for a raise. Back in the days when I was employed, it was all, mostly it was as a teacher, but always also in museums. Never did I get up the courage to ask for a raise. I would just sit there until I would decide to go get another job. I couldn't get up the courage. It takes courage to ask. And I'll give you a little clue. If it doesn't feel like it takes courage to do it, you probably aren't asking. You're probably just kind of letting be known that you have this problem in case somebody might have an answer for you. You're skirting around the issue. You're not just asking. And that's what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians. You're not asking, and you need to. You need to. Because our universe is full of uncountable potential. I mean, any AI we could create would be like a hangnail compared to the intelligence of the universe. And if we don't get specific, we don't get heard. It's that critical. That you be specific. And if you need to coach yourself by writing it down, then do that. If you need to coach yourself by getting somebody to practice with you on asking for something you need, then practice. But ask. That's the last practical thing I'm going to leave you with today, because obviously this was our practical day. All right, everybody, let's get ready to receive. You have asked. And now you shall receive, right? And whatever you've asked for, you will receive. And the things you just hoped for, well, they may fly by you in the air. Ask. Right now, it's your job. I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask also. Then you will ask, and the blessing givers and I will elevate and bring forward the potential to activate your blessing. All right? But first, we're going to take a deep breath. You know, I've been pressing down on you, and I should give you some relief. Just take a deep breath. Fill your lungs and breathe through your nose so you fill your sinuses as well. Just fill every cavity of your body. And now blow it out, okay? And now just fill every cavity of your body. And blow it out. Now I want you to stretch. Stretch your arms. Just start with that. Just stretch your arms and your hands and your fingers. Stretch every joint in your body. But make sure you stay balanced from right arm to left arm or vice versa. Stretch your legs and pull your toes up to stretch the back side of your leg. Push your toes down to stretch the front part of your leg. Make little windmills out of your legs, and you can do this even if you're lying in bed or in a chair. Make windmills, okay? And now flex your hips, whatever you are. You can do that in bed. You can flex your hips, twist them, turn your back to the right and to the left. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can stretch. And do it, because that creates the flow you need. Energy flows. And everything in this universe is energy. Your blessings will flow toward you. They will flow into you. They will flow through you. And they will expect you to outflow them in terms of production action, giving, development, creating. Okay, so be prepared to follow through on the blessings you receive by utilizing that energy. Now, I want you to just take a few more deep breaths and get really, really comfortable. The ideal position for your blessing from Christ is sitting with your feet on the floor, on the ground, so you're able to draw energy from the earth and the top of your head facing the heavens so that you draw energy down from cosmic realms into the top of your head, down through your spine, through your body, through all the organs of your body, through your legs, into the earth. The earth will pull on it, pull it into herself, transform it by the energy and the chemicals of the earth, and send it back to you to flow back through yourself to the heavens. This will go back and forth a number of times. And it's a little bit like if you wanted to, reprogram your computer. You do it with energy. You do it with the motion of energy. And you install perhaps a whole new platform to work from. This is the kind of thing that's happening for you. You're downloading, you're uploading, and you're installing it as new working potential for your life. So, whatever you want will flow. I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua, and then I want you to sit quietly in your prayer while the blessing givers and I transmit this energy for you. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, keeper of light, radiant one, who brings us all the energy of creation to utilize for the goodness of our life. You bring goodness to us. You bring good thoughts, good deeds, good ideas. Wherever there is goodness, you are. And we are grateful. Help us to remain focused upon goodness, how we can receive goodness, utilize it, offer goodness, and give goodness into the life of others. As our Heavenly Father said at the completion of every act of creation, and it is good, for He is the origin of goodness. His goodness shall flood the earth. His goodness shall bring light that illuminates the earth from within and outshines the sun. His goodness is eternal. And we see that goodness in you, who came here to literally transform human life and this planet with the goodness of God. We ask that you use this goodness to fill our life with blessings, with healing, with newfound opportunity, with grace and positive expectations, with charity, with hope, and with faith eternal. We ask that you care for those who know not yet how to pray. We ask that you bless the children, that you feed them, that you care for the homeless and for those who are in such a struggling, war-torn, or painful area. They have lost their ability to receive goodness. We pray that you give them goodness anyway, so that they cannot refute you as the source of their goodness. We ask that you greet those leaving this life into a higher life with goodness, and bring us goodness. till the end of our days. In your holy name, we speak. Amen. Blessing givers, if you will stand and join me, we will begin conveying the energy of this blessing.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's time for you to surrender into acceptance and receiving. The best way to do that is to lie flat, completely horizontal. Selfies are fine as long as you don't prop up on pillows. You need to be completely horizontal on a bed, on the floor, a mat, or the grass, whatever pleasures you. But be in that complete state of vulnerability so that you are not going to resist the energy that's going to be given to you and flowing through you. Just consider yourself a whiteboard, and God is going to write upon it and give to you the energy of life to anoint you with the answer to your prayer. I wish you many blessings this week. Receive, receive, receive. And God is good. You will be blessed. Okay, I hope you come back next week. I look forward to being with you and in celebrating your blessings with you. And bye-bye for now.